Tonight is going to be one of the lessons from the upper room. This one is going to be, you're going to have to listen closely to this one and don't try to interpret it as meaning something that it doesn't mean. That makes sense? Okay. I hope that makes sense. But you understand, you know, as we get going here. Open first to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. I believe that this tonight is going to answer a lot of questions that a lot of people have concerning their progress in the Lord, their walk with Him. In Exodus chapter 13, we're going to read more than just a couple of verses. Let's just pick it up here in verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go," meaning let the Jews go free out of Egypt, "that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Now turn over. We'll leave a marker here to make it easier to find. But turn over to chapter 40. And take a look. And what's happened here? God has given Moses, you know, the law, the instructions on how they're supposed to live, what they're supposed to eat, how they're supposed to dress, and so forth, and just all different types of things, but also the instructions as far as the tabernacle is concerned. So you pick this up in verse 34. "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." So basically what happened was, the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and God, with this cloud by day and fire by night, began to lead them and give them direction. Well, we know the story of what happened. You know, they rebelled against the Lord and all this, and then God said, "All right, fine, then, you know, basically all of you are going to die except the young ones, and they're the only ones who are going to go into the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb." So they spent roughly 40 years in the wilderness, and the way that they knew what to do and when to do it was based upon the cloud. The cloud would rest upon the tabernacle, and then when the cloud would begin to move, then the people knew, well, it was time for us to, you know, pack everything up and let's begin to follow the cloud. And until the cloud moved, you know, they were at that place. Now, I want you to look over, turn back near where we were a moment ago, but this time to chapter 16. Chapter 16. We're going to jump into the middle of the chapter. Pick it up in verse 14. It says, "And when the dew that lay was gone up," meaning the dew in the morning, "behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." So they've come out of Israel, and they come out of Israel has come out of Egypt, Where are they? Well, they're in the wilderness. What is in the wilderness? Not much. In fact, basically nothing. And God is leading them through the wilderness. Now, His original plan was, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. We're going to go this way, take you right into the promised land. Well, they rebelled, and God said, all right, for 40 years, you guys are going to have to wander around in the wilderness. So for 40 years, they're following this cloud, and for 40 years, every day, what do they have? Manna. Now, for 6 days, they would collect manna, and on the sixth day, they would collect enough for the sixth and the seventh day, which the seventh day was the Sabbath. They didn't go out on the Sabbath to collect manna. There was no manna. So here they are. They have the manna they need for every day of the week for 40 years. Now let's think about this whole process here. Think about this manna. It, what they would call it today is a nutritionally complete superfood. Now think about this. That manna had to have everything in it they needed as far as vitamins, minerals, so they wouldn't get scurvy, so they wouldn't get beriberi, so they wouldn't get, you know, all these other weird diseases and so forth. That was, it was probably the most nutritionally complete superfood in the history of humanity. This thing sustained those people, kept their bones healthy, their hair healthy, you know, their fingernails. I mean, just everything about their bodies, the manna sustained them. And I have no idea, I mean, I've never tasted or eaten manna and don't know what it looks like. I mean, I don't even know. It says here in Scripture that it looks like hoarfrost. Well, I don't even know what that is. But anyway, here they have this manna. Now, you and I both know there were probably people who got tired of manna. You know, how many of you remember Gilligan's Island? It was coconut everything, man. And I remember one episode, Gilligan, he just went kind of bonkers because he couldn't take any more coconut. Well, I imagine there must have been times when these people were challenged by another meal of manna. You know, manna cereal in the morning, you know, manna sandwiches for lunch, you know, manna pies and manna cakes and here manna, there manna, everywhere, manna, manna. Well, it was not only a nutritionally complete superfood, but it sustained them in the wilderness. Now, that's important to remember. It wasn't just they had manna to eat. It sustained them in the wilderness because they really didn't have anything else to eat. Right along with that, the only way they could get more manna was to follow the cloud. So here's the cloud, and as long as the cloud stayed here, there was manna every day here. But if they woke up one morning and the cloud was moving, well, they knew they had to get ready and go. And they had to follow that cloud until it stopped. And when it stopped, they'd set up camp. Thing is, Scripture doesn't tell us how long they set up camp each time they set up camp. It might have been for a couple of days, might have been for a couple of weeks, few months. I mean, we just don't know for sure how that happened all the time. But in order for them to get more manna, they had to follow the cloud. Well, not only that, but they could not move until the cloud moved. Meaning, they had to just sit and wait for the cloud to move. Well, when do you think that cloud's going to move again? Man, I don't have a clue. You think Moses knows? I don't think so. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, we've been here for 3 weeks now. Wonder what's next. Wonder where we're going. And I would imagine that there were times when some of them just got bored wherever they were. You know how people can be. So here they are, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months, 6 months. I mean, I don't know what happens over 40 years. And there's this one place, and it's like, man, I'll tell you what, I'm tired of this. Or somebody else is like, boy, I'm telling you what, I really like it here. Feels good here. The sand is softer here. Well, however it went. But they had to wait until the cloud moved. Because if they thought, well, you know what, we're supposed to be headed to the promised land, and man, this cloud, it hadn't done anything now for 8 weeks. I want to get to the promised land. Let's go. So what if they, you know, somebody packs up their tent and everything, and off they go. If they travel, let's say for 10 miles, and they set up their tent, and then get up the next morning, will there be manna for them? No. Because the manna was only available where the cloud existed. And they had to wait until the cloud moved before they could go to the next place to get manna. Now, with all of this in mind, and I'm reading this. Well, actually, the Lord kind of brought it to my mind, and I'm thinking about this. I'm meditating on this. And here's the question that came up. It's like the Holy Spirit asked, are you following God to the next place of your manna? Are you following God to the next place of your manna? Now, immediately, some people would think, you mean, am I like leaving this church and going to another church? Remember what I said about not misinterpreting? Okay, keep listening. He said, are you following God to the next place of your manna? Manna is not simply teaching that is filled with meat, or as deep calleth unto deep. Manna is what you have received in your spirit that brings about change. Manna is what you have received in your spirit that brings about change. He said, God's Word is your nutritionally complete spiritual superfood. This is why Jesus said, man is to live by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. God's Word is our superfood. It feeds our spirit. Now, you really need to think about this. The Word of God is the only thing that feeds our spirit. I'm going to say that again, and I really want you to think on it. The Word of God is the only thing that feeds our spirit. Worship does not feed our spirit. Now, you can have a powerful time in God's presence with worship, and I'm not diminishing the impact of worship. But Jesus didn't say, man shall live by worship alone. No, He said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's Word is the only thing that feeds our spirit. And what that means is, God's Word is like our manna. Because as we receive the Word of God, well, you know, in the parable of the sower, it talks about how that there are people that hear the Word and receive it. And they keep it. They understand it. Okay, until you are receiving it, you can hear it, but not receive it. And the proof of that is how many people, their lives are still the same after a number of years. And He brought that up here in just a moment. But the Word of God is the only thing that feeds our spirit. So if we remove the Word of God, I'm not talking about walk away from Jesus. I'm talking about if we are not feeding on the Word of God, then we're not feeding our spirit. Now, preaching helps as long as it's the Word of God. But this part where He said, are you following God to the next place of your manna? Manna is not simply teaching that is filled with meat or deep calleth unto deep. Manna is what you've received in your spirit that brings about change. Well, that brings up, you know, questions in my own mind. Am I following God to the next place of my manna? Okay, what in the world does He mean by that? Well, let's continue and we'll see it. He said, you will be led to a place in the Spirit of rest and growth. God will give you time to spiritually digest what you have been taught. You must fully digest milk before you can move on to meat. Now listen to this next part. I'm telling you, this next part is going to bring some clarity to a lot of people. The understanding of God's Word is not natural, it is spiritual. To understand a Word birthed in the Spirit, you must develop your mind to depend on the Holy Spirit to give you the understanding through your spirit. A person cannot be a teacher unless he is a learner. Now, I want you to think about this. This is not deep calleth unto deep, but it is. This is the kind of stuff we should have known all along. Well, he says, you'll be led to a place in the spirit of rest and growth. God will give you time to spiritually digest what you have been taught. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and asked me, Pastor Jim, you got any new revelation? You got any new revelation from the Word of God? Has God shown you anything new and fresh in His Word? And that's a difficult thing for me to answer, because I'm not sure I understand really what that means anymore. I mean, I do. Here's what I'm getting at. Have you digested what you've had for the last 10 years? Why are you seeking for new revelation if you're not living on the old revelation? You get this? And so here, you know, you got any new revelation? And there are people in the body of Christ who thrive on new revelation. In other words, boy, I just want to hear something they've never heard before. Have you ever considered the possibility that the Holy Spirit is quite capable in giving you something you've never heard before? Sure He is. And so what's going to happen is this. You're taking in the Word of God, taking in the Word of God. Now, this is the way He works. This is not the way man does it, per se. This is the way God works. You're taking in the Word of God, taking in the Word of God, and He knows you need time to digest it. So what He does is this. Well, and this will be clarified here in just a moment, but it's like He has you sit down. He wants you to take the time to digest what you've heard. Let me give you a type of an example. People teach about, well, you know, you got to be born again. You need to be born again. So you accept Jesus Christ and you're born again. All right. That's pretty much a done deal. From this point on, what I need to understand is, what is born again? Tell me what born again means. Well, it means your sin's been washed away, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to go to heaven when you die. Glory to God. But there's more to it. I need to know more about this new nature. Does this new nature, this born-again spirit of mine, does it have a sin nature? Am I still like I used to be? Or have I been changed? Oh, you've been changed. Okay, then how have I been changed? I need to know how I've been changed. And you have a lot of Christians. They have no clue how they've been changed, but man, they're out there trying to raise the dead. And they're wondering why God won't move through them in continual power and demonstrations of this, that, and the other. They don't even know what happened when they got born again. They don't fully understand that. In other words, here God is saying, from God's perspective, I'm going to, you've received, you know, a bucket of revelation teaching. I want you to feed on that bucket of revelation teaching until you have digested it. Because to me, God, it does me no benefit to just keep dumping it on you. You don't need a smorgasbord. You need a 10-course meal, one course at a time. And you know, in the natural, when you feed a baby, what do? You have that little baby on your knee. You got that jar of, you know, like strained peas. Have you ever tasted some of this stuff we give to babies? Oh, my goodness. No wonder they spit it out every time you put it in their mouth. Anyway, you know why it's bland? It's because their system hasn't yet adjusted to spices. That's why that food is so bland, and you put it in your mouth and you think, ugh. One of the worst things you can do, and I've seen parents do this, they take these babies And there, you know, the baby jar food, it's like, I don't know what they call it now, like onesie food and twosie food, or, you know what I'm, it's grated. Please tell me you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I've seen parents, they've got babies that, you know, they're not ready for threesie food, and they're taking like little bits of hamburger and putting it inside the baby's mouth. Well, the baby's going to taste that, and you know what they do? They just kind of like, have you ever noticed how when babies do this, it's the same thing that old people do. Babies and old people make that smacking sound. Anyway, that's not in my notes here. There are times when parents try to get the babies to eat stuff the babies aren't ready to eat. And when that happens, you know what the baby's going to do? Their tummy's going to, they're going to be crying. Well, the baby can't talk and tell you what a fool you've been. They just cry and throw up all over the place and everything else. And then it messes up the digestive system. And, you know, they're filling their diapers constantly and you can't figure out what the problem is. Well, the problem is you were trying to force feed them something they weren't ready to handle. You've got to work the baby through this digestive, the food progression process here. That's what God does to us. He'll give us teaching. How can I say this? When teaching goes forth, for some people, it takes them longer to digest it and assimilate its spiritual nutrients than it does other people. And it doesn't mean that the people that it takes longer to digest it, doesn't mean they're dumb. It doesn't mean they're stupid. It doesn't mean that they can't know it. It just means they need a little more time to digest it. One of the things you don't want to do is get frustrated and upset with yourself and say, I'm never going to get this. If you put forth the effort, you will. You'll understand it. But you have to put forth the effort to understand it. In some cases, you might have to listen to a sermon two or three or four or five times. Follow along in Scripture. Take notes. But see, you keep feeding your spirit with that manna, and the time's going to come, you will understand it. Because Scripture makes it very clear that our spirits have the capacity to know the things of God. That the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened. So it isn't that we can't understand it, it's that we have to be willing to sit there at the table and digest all of this the way that God wants us to. And like he said here, to understand a word birthed in the Spirit, you must develop your mind to depend on the Holy Spirit to give you the understanding through your spirit. Because like he said, the understanding of God's Word is not natural, it's spiritual. Please get a hold of that. Your natural mind cannot comprehend the deep things of God's Word. It is impossible. Now, I know the scholars may tell you differently. And I know all these theologians may preach it differently. But this Word we have goes beyond understanding all the nuances of the Greek and the Hebrew. The Greek and the Hebrew can help. But when it comes to understanding it at the level you need it, which is spiritual, that comprehension, it's going to come spirit first, mind second. And that's where you have to come to the place of developing your mind to understand it comes from the Holy Spirit through my spirit to my mind. And that's going to take patience. Well, let me read more to you. He said, when you have reached the pinnacle of your present level of walk in God, you will receive no more until you go to the next level. In other words, think of it like this. When you have completed, in the natural, sixth grade, then you don't get any more until you walk into the seventh grade class. You with me? And then what do? They give you an entire school year to digest the seventh grade material. Then when seventh grade is over, they don't give you any more until you walk into the eighth grade classroom. And this process starts all over again. See, what I'm sharing with you, this is not new. We've seen it played out over and over again in the natural. And God works with us on a spiritual level in the same way. When you have reached the pinnacle of your present level of walk in God, you will receive no more until you go to the next level. Now you may think, well, okay, that makes sense. So I'll just go to the next level. Well, now listen to how he presents this. It took a lot of hard work for the Jews to break camp, pack up their tents, and move on. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, in my mind, you know, the tents and the Jews and all this, I had this vision of like these little, you know, like Cub Scout tents. You know what I'm talking about? These little things you go to the sporting goods store and buy and take out in the woods and you put it up. It's like, boy, we're camping. Well, the tents they had, some of those tents might have been as big as this room. And they had to drive the posts into the ground and everything to hold this tent up. We're not talking about these little, you know, Girl Scout, Boy Scout tents. We're talking about tents that were big, tents that were large, tents that were big enough to where you and your wife and your 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids, whatever, would fit inside that thing, along with all your possessions and so forth. And he says, it took a lot of hard work for the Jews to break camp, pack up their tents, and move on. Now, think about all that, how hard work it would have been. You got to get all your stuff together. You got to get that tent taken down and, you know, rolled up and tied up and how heavy it would be. You know, let your imagination here begin to capture the vision of this process. That means when that cloud begins to move, all you're thinking about is work, hard work, sweat. I don't want to do this. And the tent moves, or the cloud moves. Oh, when the cloud stops, oh boy, you know, set up camp. And the one thing you're thinking is, I hope we're here for a little while, because I sure don't want to do this again in 3 days. This was just too stinking hard. For 40 years, it was like this. When you have reached the pinnacle of your present level of walk in God, you will receive no more until you go to the next level. In other words, just like with the Jews, they didn't get any more manna until they packed up and went to the next place. It took a lot of hard work for the Jews to break camp, pack up their tents, and move on. It will take a lot of hard work and diligence on your part to disrupt your present level of comfort in order to move forward. And we enter into a comfort zone, a place of ease. We're not in sin now. I mean, it could be, but no, we're not thinking of it like that. We're not in sin. We're not in rebellion to God. We're just at a place where we're cruising along. And then all of a sudden, there's this nudging on the inside. God's wanting more from us because He knows it's time for us to move to the next level, to receive the next serving of manna, so that our spirits can be fed, and we can grow to the next level. And you know what's amazing is that as you go through the Word of God, let's just say, let's just pick the book of Galatians. It's not a very big book. It just takes you 10, 15 minutes to read it. So you read the book of Galatians, and you meditate in the book of Galatians. And, you know, boy, you've got an understanding of that book. And God says, okay, it's time to take you to the next level. It's time to break camp and go forward. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back and read Galatians 10 times a day for the next 3 months. And you're thinking, what? I've read this book, you know, front to back. I mean, I've read it I don't know how many times. And what God's trying to get across to you is this. Yeah, you've read it, and you've uncovered the first 3 layers of understanding from that book. Well, now I want to take you to the next 8 layers of understanding in that book. It's like you can turn the page in the natural, but I'm telling you what, there are a whole lot more pages to turn in the Spirit. And so He wants you to meditate. Now, I'm not telling you that's what you have to do. I'm saying that could be one thing. Well, see, that's going to take a lot of hard work, a lot of diligence to disrupt our present level of comfort to go to that next level because we think everything's okay. And God is saying, no, you need to go deeper into my word. He said, your cloud is the inner leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say that again and prepare you for the next part. Your cloud is the inner leading of the Holy Spirit. How many Christians are living in the wilderness and have been for years with no fresh manna? Let me say that again. He said, how many Christians are living in the wilderness and have been for years with no fresh manna? And I'm telling you, I've seen it. I mean, when he's sharing this with me, I'm seeing it in the body of Christ. How that there are Christians, they're living on yesterday's manna. They're, okay, for example, me. You need to get born again. Okay, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Now I'm born again. Now what? Well, you're born again. Live for Jesus. Okay. Well, how do I do that? Well, you go to church. I can do that. Well, you tithe. Well, I can do that. Well, you give offerings too. Well, I can do that too. And maybe you want to join the choir. Well, I could do that. And you want to help around the church. I could do that. Can anybody bear witness with this process that I'm sharing with you? Okay, great. But what comes next? What comes next? Well, here's what comes next. We will give you our intellectual comprehension of the Word of God. Now, I'm not trying to belittle people I've known in the past, but remember what he said. God's Word is birth in the Spirit, and there's only one way to understand it, and that is by the teaching of the Holy Spirit to our spirit, which is then transferred to our mind. You have to be a learner before you can be a teacher. Well, you've got too many people that aren't learners, but they mean well. And they're good people, really good people. But they really don't understand these things. So how many Christians are living in the wilderness and have been for years with no fresh manna? Finally, I came to the point in my own life where I understood the fresh manna of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, wow, gee, we never had that manna at the last camp. But all right, I'll do that. So I get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's like, well, glory, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I can speak in tongues. Woo-hoo, this is great. And so then I'm there for a long time, and what I missed was that the cloud was trying to, well, the cloud's moving forward, but I'm sitting back trying to live on the manna of being filled with the Holy Ghost. When the cloud's trying to take me to the place of understanding, okay, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You can speak with tongues. Now you need to pray in the Spirit. But I'm back here for 10 years, filled the Holy Ghost. I can pray in tongues, but I don't know a lick about it. I don't understand it. I don't know what it will do for me. So I'm trying to live on that manna, and the cloud's that way. And if I would follow the cloud, then I'd come into the place of the fresh new manna that would feed my spirit with the understanding of you gotta pray in tongues to get the results it will produce in your life. Are you seeing the process? I remember many years ago in the charismatic world, when, you know, Kathy and I got married in what was called a charismatic church. And, you know, boy, I'm telling you what, that was back in the days of the faith teaching. I mean, buddy, you got to believe it and receive it, and you need to confess it and all those kind of things about faith. And some of the things were right. Some of the things that we heard, well, they needed maybe a little improvement. But the one thing I don't remember was extensive teaching about praying in tongues. Now, I'm not saying nobody taught about it, but what I'm saying is, I read every book I could get my hands on. I listened to all the tapes by all the faith super preachers. You know what I'm saying? I don't remember one time listening to a teaching series by any of them that took me into the depths of why I needed to pray in tongues. Now, the closest thing to that was Kenneth Hagin, because he did teach on that. but not to the level, and I'm not belittling Kenneth Hagin, please, and maybe I didn't hear all the teachings that he gave on that. But I'm telling you, all those faith preachers out there, I never heard any of them or read any of them give a detailed, intricate breakdown of why I needed to pray in tongues. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I didn't. Here's the thing, though. All the other people that were listening to them, I never heard any of them telling me about the details of praying in tongues. It was mentioned you can pray in tongues and you need to pray in tongues. But nobody explained to me I'd be building myself up on my most holy faith and why. Nobody broke down the fact that I'd be edifying myself, that I'd be praying out the mysteries of God. In other words, I didn't have that detailed understanding. Now, I'm using all of this as an example. You have Christians who have set up camp in different places, and when they first set up camp, the manna they got was fresh, it was good, they needed it. But once you've come to that place of digesting it, it's time to follow that cloud to the next place where the Holy Spirit will lead you. Now, as I look back over Kathy's and my life, I can see how we've been following the cloud and at times didn't really know we were following the cloud. We didn't understand it that way. But He took us, led us in our walk with God to higher levels. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen in this. When He leads you like this, it isn't that He doesn't want to lead everybody, because He does. But the only people that He can lead are the ones who are following. And so over time, relationships you had with people at campsite number one, those relationships are going to fade in the distance as you are following the leading of that inner cloud to the next campsite. And there you are. And you'll be there for a while. Now, when that cloud begins to move, if you are willing and obedient and will follow that cloud, everybody at that campsite could follow the cloud too. But they're not all going to. So, if you follow it, you're going to be following to the next campsite, and those relations, it's not that you end up enemies, but you just don't have that close fellowshipping relationship like you used to, because they're not back into sin. It's not that they hate God. No, they're still people. They love God. They're serving God, but they haven't followed the cloud to the next place. Another example of that would be all the prosperity teaching. Listen, as long as you hold on to the belief that your offerings are going to buy salvation, buy blessings, buy promises, get you the hundredfold increase on your money and all that, as long as that's what you believe, you're going to be stuck at that camp. Your faith, I'll get to this blessing stuff here in just a moment. What he said is powerful. Your faith has to be in the fullness of what God has done and understand that you don't buy things from God based upon tithes and offerings. It can't happen. You don't buy your way out of a curse with money that you put in an offering plate. Well, he said, how many Christians are living in the wilderness and have been for years with no fresh manna? You must move when the cloud moves, and you must wait for the next moving of the cloud. You sit there and digest it and wait for the next moving of the cloud. Those who don't wait will live and act as a novice in the kingdom. They will minister out of emotional revelation rather than spiritual truth. Emotional revelation is that which appeals to a mind that has not been transformed to the truth of God's Word. And if you aren't seeing that in the body of Christ, everybody hops on the bandwagon of the next new, fresh revelation. And so much of it is what he's calling emotional revelation. It captures the senses. And so, boy, you go with it. And there are always these catchphrases. Well, I don't want to get into all that. But when you operate out of truth, spiritual truth, you're operating from a solid foundation, a sustaining foundation. He said, your mind and your heart, please listen closely to this one. Your mind and your heart must become more and more unified by His nature in you. This is part of what Romans 12:2 means when you are told to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This takes time and diligence on your part. The more this unifying takes place, the more you will know and understand the inner leading of the Holy Spirit. It's like with Jesus. He was led by the Spirit, but His mind and His spirit, it's like they were operating as one. Now, our potential is the same. We are born again, and we train our spirits, with the manna, so on and so forth, but we also are transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our mind? Well, we meditate in the Word of God. I've shared this a couple of times, but it fits in right here. Years ago, I was asking God, why is it so many Christians have so many problems with their thought life, whatever that means to each person? Why do they have so many problems? And He said one of the primary reasons is because they're not meditating in His Word enough. He said they're letting the things of the world fill their mind more than the things of His Word. You transform your mind, you renew it through the things of the Word of God. What else is there to you? You can't. There's nothing else that will work. Nothing. Now, praying in tongues fits right in this, because praying in tongues is praying the Word of God. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit knows you need to pray. And in your mind, your understanding is unfruitful, but your spirit is developing in this process. Well, then when you begin to get into the Word of God, the Bible, and you're feeding this into your mind, then you begin reprogramming your mind. And as you're reprogramming your mind with the written life of God, then your mind begins lining up with your spirit, and you become more sensitive to the inner leading of the Holy Spirit concerning the will of God. But it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. If you don't do it, it won't happen.
Well, you're telling me that it's not just by grace?
That is exactly what I'm telling you. Grace is what's made it possible for this to happen. But you still have to do your part. You see how many Christians are living out there in the wilderness? Now, they love Jesus, but they're out there running around. Now listen to this last part. He said, God's goal for your life is not demonstrations of power and gifts of the Spirit. His goal is for you to conform to the image of Jesus. The more you conform to that image, the more you will walk in the same glory, power, anointing, and provision as Jesus. People talk about wanting the blessings of God in their life. Do you realize when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there was no lack in the life or ministry of Jesus? None whatsoever. Now, what did He not have? He didn't have a palace, did He? No. He did not have, a chariot with 6 white horses. He didn't have the opulence. What He had was everything He needed and more. Remember Judas, keeper of the money bag? They had enough money left over to where they would give to the poor. They would minister to people who were in need. In other words, He had everything He needed. He had more than He needed. And He never lacked in His life or ministry. Now, the more we conform to His image, what happens is we lose the focus of, boy, I got to have this thing, got to have that thing, I need this. We lose the focus of world stuff and become more focused on kingdom stuff. But in the process, there will be this growing increase in our lives of glory, power, anointing, but there's also going to be an increase in provision. Not the way the world describes it, but the way the kingdom describes it. And I'm talking about provision in natural things, money and stuff, to where you can get to the place to where you're not going to lack. Now, the people look at you, some Christians, people in the world, they might think you ought to have more stuff. But when you're conforming to the image of Christ, you start realizing how much stuff you don't really have to have. And that doesn't mean that you won't someday possibly end up with a great big old house. Because God might want you using that great big old house to house people who come in town for conferences. Are you capturing an understanding here of what He's trying to get across to us? The thing is, we have to follow that cloud of His leading relative to our spiritual growth. We have to take the time to digest the manna we've received. And you have to put forth the diligence to do that. Then the day is going to come when He's going to take you to that next level. And then the next level. And then the next level. The question is this: is your cloud moving? Or has it moved and you're still back here where there's no manna? It's amazing. You can attend a church that has the greatest, most incredible teaching in the world and not be getting fed. Because if you're not digesting what is served at the table, you're not going to grow spiritually. It's just incredible. You mean it's more than just showing up, sitting and listening? You mean I actually have to do something with it? Glory to God, what bondage! No, man. You know, if I go to the smorgasbord and they've got all this great food laid out before me, one thing I'm not going to complain about is that I have to get a fork and a knife and a spoon and shovel it down my gullet. I'm not going to complain. You mean I got to feed myself? You mean I got to go pick up the fork? You mean I got to get a plate? You mean I actually have to walk up there and put the food on my... What kind of place is this? They probably call the cops and have me hauled out. And rightfully so. Well, you know what? Satan fights us in the area of our emotions, but the one thing that we should feel good about is taking the time to digest the words of life served up to our spirits. And I want to grow thereby. Amen.